No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds. Arizona Cardinals fans, welcome to Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root, and soon to be joining me will be Seth Cox as we talk today, tonight, Tuesday night, a couple of days before the NFL draft begins. We're going to be talking NFL draft tonight, as we always do. In fact, if you want to join us, call in to Seth Cox and I. Seth and I have a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about the first three rounds of the NFL draft with regards to the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to talk first round. Each of us has some players that we kind of like, and we're going to give the cases for the players we've got. We may argue a little bit because we have some differences in terms of the players that we like. We're going to do that for the first three rounds. And then the very first Revenge of the Burns Radio mock draft. We're going to go through the entire first round with each team. We'll mention what we think the teams should do with their pick. And then each of us will say what we think the teams actually will do with their pick. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio, presented by RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation site for Arizona Cardinals fans to be a fan, to be authors, in fact, to be able to produce their own content over at RevengeOfTheBirds.com, where you can join for free, join the site, get to know the community, comment, and in fact, you can even publish your own content, fan posts, fan shots, where you can share the best of your fandom. If you'd like to join us tonight on Revenge of the Birds Radio, give us a call, 646-478-3787. That's 646-478-3787. And that's if you're listening live, of course. If you are listening via download after the fact, well, no, you won't be able to call in and get anyone on the line. However, you may follow along and you just send up comments and tweets to facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds or also on Twitter. You can tweet us your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Jokes are welcome too. Yes, jokes are even welcome. And you can either tweet them at me, my personal Twitter account, which is at Senor Jess Root, SenorJessRoot, or the site's at Revenge of Birds. And of course, you can also follow the conversation at the SB Nation site, RevengeOfTheBirds.com. But you're here to listen about the NFL draft. And that's what we're going to do tonight. As soon as Seth comes on, we will talk about the players that we like. There's all sorts of little headlines going on. We're not going to focus so much on the headlines because we are ready for this NFL draft. I don't know how we waited till May last year. It got huge numbers. People were super intrigued. I think the numbers were combined 47 million viewers watching the NFL draft between NFL Network and ESPN and ESPN2. Granted, there was extra intrigue as one of the most polarizing and most popular figures in college football history was eligible for the draft, that big Johnny Manziel. And the buzz he created was super special. His rookie year was anything but special. We'll see what happens this time around. The NFL moved the draft back to April. This year it will be in Chicago. And the Arizona Cardinals will have, as of right now, unless another deal is made, will have 8 picks in this year's NFL draft. One in each of the only 7 rounds of the draft. And a second pick at the very end of the second round. In fact, it will be the final pick in the draft itself, where they will draft Mr. Irrelevant, something that they've done before. I believe this will be the third time that they have drafted had the last pick in the NFL draft. But before we get started, before Seth joins us, so go ahead and give us a go ahead and if you got any comments or questions about NFL draft, about the Arizona Cardinals, what do you think teams should do? Give us a call, 646-478-3787. If you've been over to the site revengeofthebirds.com, there's some content that's been up. In fact, one of the biggest debates that fans tend to have about, well, and mock drafts always sort of kind of hammer this point home. Mock drafts are almost always trying to project picks or scenarios based on the players that teams need in terms of positions. Since we don't know teams' actual draft boards or their big board or their top 120, top 130 players, it makes it really hard to prognosticate in terms of that. And people throw these buzzwords out, best player available, best player available, best player available, as if we're going to rank players, like we're going to look at Mel Kiper's big board and the teams we're going to draft based on that. There's always variance. For example, the draft this year, 256 picks. There isn't a Cardinals have a draft board of 130 players. And guess what? At the end of that draft, not all 130 of those players will have been drafted. In fact, they anticipate, you know, somewhere between 8 and 15 will be left over, which then make the priority undrafted free agents that they then pursue immediately following the NFL draft. And so it's really kind of interesting how you see a 256-player draft, how a team prepares with 120 or 130 players. And that's only because they will keep guys off the boards because of injury concerns. Some guys will be left off their board completely because of character concerns. And sometimes schematically, they just don't fit, which is interesting. What we do know is that the Arizona Cardinals have a series of needs, including outside linebacker. They want speed off the edge. They want pass rushing. They want more speed at inside linebacker. They want a big back, a big running back to complement Andre Ellington, interior lineman. They need a kick returner, so they're going to want to add speed. And Bruce Arians is notorious for adding speed, adding receivers all the time, every year. And as well, they could use some depth at cornerback, as there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And I actually wrote a piece Tuesday afternoon. Obviously, if you're listening to this later, it happened, you know, a couple days ago, a day or two or so ago. And it was about the whole notion of best player available. And Steve Keim and Bruce Arians have said it multiple times in each of the drafts. This will be their third draft together. In each of the last two off seasons and this off season as well, have talked about you don't force a pick. You don't draft because of need. You take the best player available. However, whether it's coincidental or they're just saying stuff, the top, they have gone in each of the first two rounds of each of the drafts, coincidentally, their picks or the top of the draft board, their best player available, happen to coincide exactly with the biggest needs. Steve Keim's first offseason, they talked about the need to improve the offensive line. They hammered that home, improve the offensive line, improve the offensive line, improve the offensive line. And they went and drafted Jonathan Cooper after the top tackles were all gone. So there wasn't any point to force a tackle pick, but they took who they believed was a top guard or one of the top guards in the draft. So the pick, they went with Kevin Minter, as they needed to add a thumper at linebacker to pair up with Darryl Washington. Those were the two biggest needs. Go back to last offseason, 2014. After the 2013 season, the talk was they need to be able to cover tight ends. They need better play from tight end. So they talked about getting longer, faster, more athletic at safety. They wanted better tight end play. What did the Cardinals go do with their first two picks? Magically, their top player on the board happened to be a long athletic safety in Dylan Buchanan. And then the next pick was a big physical tight end in Troy Nicholas. And so I kind of have a conclusion based on this offseason, because the two biggest, and some of the biggest needs that have been brought up this offseason have been pass rusher, have been speed on the edge, speed in the middle of the field at inside linebacker, improving the interior line, big running back. It seems that the biggest need, and I believe what you can probably all agree that the biggest need for the Cardinals this offseason is pass rush or outside line, somebody off the edge. I'm convinced that they're going to go that direction. Who that is exactly, we won't know. We're going to talk about it a little bit. And I've brought Seth Cox. He is with us tonight. Seth, how are you doing?
Good, Jeff.
Doing fantastically. Hopefully, no microphone issues for myself. You hear me just fine this time?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my my Google phone to work tonight, so it's just taking me a second.
Okay.
I called from my regular phone until I get this figured out.
Well, now that we've got the both of us on the line, we're going to start with the show. The idea of what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk Cardinals first. We're going to go through the first round. Seth's got some players he likes. I've got some players I like. We're going to talk about him. I know one of the guys I like, Seth absolutely does not like at all, for a variety of reasons. He'll explain that, but we'll you know, we normally do a lot of agreeing on this show. We're really, you know, sort of being friends off the air as well. So there isn't a lot. We kind of have some of the same ideas when it comes to football. So we're going to mix it up a little bit. Hopefully we will be able to give some healthy debates, so it's more instead of just healthy agreement. But we do have different players on our wants, on our want list for both for all three rounds, first, second, and third round. We're not going to talk the fourth through seventh simply because that's just simply impossible. And after the first couple, three rounds anyway, unless you are the most avid college football and NFL watch, you know, just you don't know who these players are anyway. And I'll be honest, when we go back to last season, for example, I knew about Daylon Buchanan. I had heard Troy Nicholas come up. But after that, Kareem Martin, hadn't heard of him. I'll be honest, I'm not a big college football film person. I lean on Seth for a lot of that. So I read a lot of scouting reports. I listen to what Seth has to say. I admittedly don't watch, like, you know, people say, I don't watch game tape. I watch the Sun Devils. I'm a Sun Devil fan. I watch some of the big games. And so players like Kareem Martin, hadn't heard of him. Ed Stinson, didn't know much about him. You know, Walt Powell, didn't know about him. So after the first three rounds, we're really past players that we even know. So Seth, let's talk first round. Let's talk about the first round of the NFL draft. And for the Cardinals, in terms, they're going to be picking at number 24, perhaps trading back. Although, just came across Twitter just about a half hour ago, the Detroit Lions, who pick at number 23, have reportedly, according to Pro Football Talk, have been actively making phone calls trying to trade down from 23. If that happens, the Cardinals, there's no way that the Cardinals are going to be able to trade down from 24. If someone moves up to 23, I don't see anyone moving up to 24. And so that we're really going to be stuck kind of there, I think. And we'll go from there. And it looks like Seth disappeared. So what I'll wait for him to jump back on. But Seth and I are going to give our picks, the players that we want for each of the first three rounds. And I'll start by throwing my names out there. There are, for the first round, I am looking at a few players. My wish list, I have kind of four. And if you've been following me on Twitter, I started following, jumped on this bandwagon a little while, in part because of some of the scouting report that Seth gave me. And it started to come back among some draft guys. This name's come up. It has Preston Smith out of Mississippi State. I like the versatility he offers. Preston Smith is a guy I would love to see. I would have no problem with the card. Number 24, he is not your prototypical speed rusher, but he offers a lot of versatility because he can play a couple positions. He is powerful, he is athletic, and he offers more than just a pure pass rush, because he can also play against the run. He can set the edge. That'd be my first guy. As we move forward, there's also another position that this is more of a super, super wish list. That'd be running back Todd Gurley. I don't think he'll be available. But if he were to be available, he would be the one running back in the first round that I would jump all over. He fits. He's got that potential to be an elite back. With the medical concerns kind of out of the way, it seems, those medical concerns about his torn ACL, he seems to be recovering rather well. He's a big back. He can run between the tackles. He can run through people, and he's got this. He's got enough speed that he can run away from people as well. So he would be the perfect and the type of great back that would be that would make Andre Ellington really only a complimentary back. Perhaps going to see some more, even more at receiver. So I think to you back.
Yeah, my regular phone died, of course. So I think I figured out the Google phone thing.
Everything that could go wrong right now. That's fine. I was starting to give the names of the players that I kind of have going after the first round. These are kind of my wish list. I want Preston Smith. I want Todd Gurley. I don't think he's going to be available. This is a name I know you're going to disagree with, is Shane Ray at outside linebacker. He would have to be one of those guys that falls. And then kind of going to the offensive line, there's a couple players I kind of like. And the first would be TJ Clemmings out of Pitt. It's kind of both on either. I don't care either way. Which way. There's TJ Clemmings of Pitt, Clemmings, and then Andres Pete out of Stanford. Local kid. Dad played for the Cardinals. Up here, played here. I was a big recruit coming out of high school. And I would not mind him. Give me your reaction first, Seth, to those. I got Preston Smith, I got Todd Gurley, Shane Ray, and then the tackle duo of Clemmings. What do you like, not like about the Smith player?
I think Smith, I mean, that's something you and I have talked about off the air for a while. I tried to pique your interest with Smith, and you got on board, which was, you know, the smart move by you. No, I'm just kidding.
I totally liked it.
Yeah, I think what people dislike about Smith, and this is something we've talked about on the Draft Savages podcast quite a bit, is people don't like the fact that he's not a pure rush outside linebacker edge player. But what you have to remember is there's like, what, five or six of those in the league? So you're talking about, you know, guys like Justin Houston, Tamba Hali, you know, Von Miller.
Those Chiefs are having both of them too. What the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they have, and look at the Broncos. They have Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys that are talented and that just end up on the same teams. And that's what happens. And because those guys are so good, why on earth would anybody let them go? I just think that from my perspective, that you're going to see a guy in Preston Smith who can come in and be Matt Shaughnessy, but better as a run stopping quote unquote defensive or outside linebacker. And then in pass rushing situations, he's versatile. And sometimes when people hear versatile, they think, oh, well, that means he's not good at doing, you know, at rushing off the edge. Well, that's not necessarily true, but it's not his strongest point. But what is his strongest point is rushing the passer and getting to the quarterback. And that's what he does well. And he does it from a lot of different positions. For those of you that have followed along with college football focus as they've opened up this whole their pro football focus stats to the college football world, you have Preston Smith as one of the best, most productive pass rushers in college football. So what, you know, you end up with a guy that maybe doesn't fit in your box that you want, but he's going to be super productive, and he's going to be a guy that wins from different positions along the defensive front seven, which makes him really valuable to a team like the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, and he checks off a lot of boxes in terms of what the Cardinals really like to do defense, at least trending back a couple 3 years. If you look at the defenses, at least playing players that they keep at outside linebacker, he checks off a lot of boxes. He's bigger. If you look, you brought it up. The guys like Mike Neal, guys like Pernell McPhee, and then you look at the players that they've had, even, you know, John Abraham, and they got Alex Okafor. These are not your thin, speedy, smaller sized outside linebackers. They're big. Preston Smith's big. He's been a leader. The Cardinals have been almost all of their picks over the past couple, 3 years. A large majority have been team captains. Preston Smith fits that role. When the Cardinals play, if you think of the Cardinals kind of playing a 3-4, there's kind of one thing that, at least in terms of my watching the Cardinals, they don't use their offense, their outside linebackers really to do anything other than set the edge and rush the quarterback. They really are sort of a fourth and a fifth defensive lineman during base sets when they're in the base 3-4. And then honestly, when you say 3-4 outside linebacker, this edge player, the way the Cardinals, at least under Todd Bowles, and even with Ray Horton, is when they go to nickel and dime defenses, they're still really only using just a four-man front, because even still they'd have the two tackles inside, so they'd go with Dockett and Calais Campbell. They'd bring the nose tackle off there. They'd be basically your 4-3-2 defensive tackles. Then your 3-4 outside linebackers are essentially just a 4-3 defensive end. Smith can do that. He checks off a lot of boxes. I really like what and I as much as I like them to trade back to pick him up, I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm totally okay with that. Talk about Todd Gurley, and I know he's not on your list of players of what you'd like to see the Cardinals. Is that more or less simply because you don't think he'll be available, or do you not want to go that route with the running back with the first round?
I think it's a little bit of both. I'm not a huge running back in the first round fan. And it's not because of talent. It's just because production-wise, I think you can get equal talent from a back in the later rounds. Whereas with like a Gurley or even an Adrian Peterson, you don't have to have as good of an offensive line, right? So then all of a sudden you can focus more on other positions. Whereas for me, if you just have a strong offensive line, everything else kind of falls into place. So I'm cool with, but I like Gurley's the only running back I'd be okay with in round one. So if that happens, it's not going to be my favorite thing in the world, but I'll be okay with it. You're talking about a guy that wins inside, outside. You're basically talking about a guy that could be as good as Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson. And I'm not talking about stylistically. I'm just talking about in terms of being a back that can carry the load for your offense for, you know, years on end. And that's what really matters when you're going to draft a running back early. Like, you basically have to be willing to say, okay, for the next 4 years, maybe five, if we want to give you that fifth year, you know, option, we're going to give you, you know, 1,200 carries, maybe 1,500 carries in those 4 to 5 years, and then good luck after that. You know, if you're, and then if he is a back in the same vein as Lynch and Peterson, then you're going to give him a 3 or 4 year contract extension, because those are the only players, in my opinion, that deserve those extensions, are those transcendent talents that can produce from day one till they retire, you know, 10, 12 years later. And those are few and far between. And I'm just of the opinion that you draft a running back, you use them and you lose them. I know it's a callous mentality, but that's just how I think it's best done.
And honestly, the way you look at the running back position, unless you get one of those generational type players, one of those elite type players, that's what you have to do, because it doesn't make any sense any other way. The next player, I know you, listeners, you're going to find out that this is one of the players that Seth really doesn't like. In fact, it was a tweet, I think it was yesterday on Monday, when he threatened to just turn the TV off and stop watching the draft if both Randy Gregory and Shane Ray are available at number 24. It's going to be tempting for the Cardinals, depending on what they have in terms of off the field stuff. But Shane Ray is another guy on my board of, if he's available, I would pick him. My explanation. I do sort of now, the news today that came out where he where he was cited for marijuana possession. Okay, that's a bit of a problem, especially adding to it. You've got some injury concerns with that foot injury. He might not be able to start the season. So you got a couple of dings against him. However, the Missouri program over the years, with the exception of Michael Sam, and then his, has been very productive in terms of professionals hitting in the NFL. Shane Ray had one of the most productive seasons among pass rushers this past season. And it wasn't a case where, like we saw with Michael Sam, where he just ate up on the weaker opponents. He was consistent week in and week out. He is a, you know, in terms of, you see, we got the off the field stuff. Someone pointed out on Twitter today, on Tuesday, that if you look back over the history of pass rusher, these guys that are the best pass rushers don't tend to be the best people. I mean, go back to Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor was a mess. Heck, the Cardinals with John Abraham. John Abraham had issues coming into the league. He stayed pretty clean for a while, then had issues again heading into this last season. There are a number of edge players who have had more than their have had checkered pasts. And depending on, you know, I don't know the inside stuff. So I'm looking at the production overall. I like the skill set that he has. There are some concerns about the type of every down outside linebacker, whether he can set the edge. But the one thing he does, he's got great bursts, as you talked about, is his anticipation off the line. And the one thing you can count on, the question is whether is it worth a first-round pick. A guy who can get you even, you know, in situational pass rush, he's going to get you 10, 12 sacks in a season. I'm okay with that. And that's the type of player the Cardinals need. And so I can live with that. And especially with the Cardinals' other situation, they've proven, at least on a couple of players, that you can work through some of the personal problems. They've also had the other side of the spectrum with Darrell Washington. But I like Shane Ray. I like the fact that he's going to be – I think when he hits the league, he's going to be that guy. He's going to be a guy that produces sacks. And that's what the Cardinals need. And I think he's a good enough talent that if he falls to 24, my gosh, they should jump all over it. Now it's your turn.
And I know you. I think well, and you and I have had this conversation, you know, on text. So here's what I'll say. I think one of my things that I struggle with from a, you know, quote unquote evaluator, and I'm not, you know, I get paid by some people to do this, but it's not like NFL teams are looking for my input on things. But you know, from my standpoint as an evaluator, things that I've struggled with in the past are guys where I've seen what they produce and they do it in college, but then they don't have anything from an athletic standpoint or, you know, what's the word that a lot of people use, like a metric standpoint that makes them special. So I don't understand. So it's hard for me to buy into where they translate at the next level to where they can win consistently. And that's what my problem is with Shane Ray. A lot of people talk about his explosive first step, but a lot of that is he's great at anticipating snap counts. And he's the first one off the line against bad athletes. Even though he's in the SEC, there's a lot of bad tackles. Because, you know, if they were all good, they'd all be drafted in the first round every year when they come out, and they rarely are. So you look at what he does, and he's a good snap anticipator, and he's that, you know, quote unquote relentless type as a pass rusher. So what I think he does well is I think he is relentless. He is a guy that will not stop coming at you. Stephen White from SB Nation wrote a great piece on him and something that I really agree with. You know, if he fails, he's going to fail because he doesn't have the athleticism to be an every down player. And he doesn't end up being athletic enough to succeed as a pass rusher. Whereas Let me go back. He isn't big enough to be an every down player, and he doesn't have the athleticism to be a pass rush specialist. So that's where he's going to fail. So, like, I can see where he's going to fail. What I struggle with is where he's going to succeed. And that's where my issue comes in, is I want something tangible where I can be like, okay, this is what he can rely on when he goes up against a guy like Joe Staley, or when he goes up against Russell Okung, or whoever plays left tackle for St. Louis next year, if it's Greg Robinson, you know, or whoever. So that's what I want to be able to see, is where he's going to win consistently. And I don't know if I know where that's at from a standpoint outside of that he's going to work his butt off to get those sacks. I just don't know if he's going to be physically capable enough to do it.
And looking at my other picks, I kind of have kind of a toss up. I lean a little bit more towards Andres Pete, but I like both TJ Clemmings and Andres Pete. Unfortunately, they're not going to be impact players this year. They're not going to make an impact on the Cardinals this year, barring injury. We've got Bobby Massey, who seems to pretty much have that right tackle position locked up. However, he's a free agent, and he's not the best right tackle. He's kind of the type of player where you can, you know, you can almost find in a lot of place. After all, he's a fourth rounder, took a couple of years to kind of come to his own. But they need to think ahead. I like the fact that Pete has the ability and projects to be able to play either side of the offensive line. And for whatever reason, if Valdir gets hurt, I don't know if he can play guard. He grew up, and his dad was a guard. He's a little bit long in terms of playing guard. But Clemmings projects real well as a right tackle. And you've talked about it before. He's kind of like Bobby Massey now with a higher upside. So I don't see any problem with that. The only thing is you don't get any impact in year one.
I think he'd beat out Bobby Massey in year one personally. Like, I like Bobby Massey, and so I text you this, but maybe it was somebody else. I had a couple of people tell me that I overrated what Massey did this year in my grades. So that made me go back and look, and I still think he graded out as a B this year. But other people told me he was more like a C player. So, which is average, you know, I thought he was slightly above average, but I think Pete could come in and compete and take the job day one. And then you have Massey as a backup, and you're not paying him a lot, and he's got experience. And then, you know, you just go from there, but that's just me. So Clemmings is a different animal. I think he's kind of like Massey, just a more athletic guy. So I think he could flip over to guard if he need be, which, you know, let's hope for the Cardinals' sake they don't need a guard with all that they've invested in the guard position the last couple of years. And I think you could get, you know, again, he could be Bobby Massey's replacement next year. But if I had my druthers, I'd take Pete, because I think he can help you day one. And I think that makes your offensive line better. How much better is what, you know, what I wonder. But it'll be better.
Let's give us your first round picks. You've got three names that you like, which are one that's kind of similar to one of mine, and the other two, which are, you might consider them, some would consider them reaches.
Yeah, and the two that I like that a lot of people don't bring up, I know Jordan Plotcher has brought up one of them before, and he's a very intelligent guy, so and a Cardinals fan, so he's kind of dialed into the same way of thinking that I am in this. But I'll start with Oamagbe Odigizuwa is a guy that, you know, along with Preston Smith, those were the two guys that I kind of brought up to you at the beginning of this process. Like, hey, I think these are going to be the guys this year that you're going to see. So the one thing, and I've said this all along, I call him Diggy. I like Diggy better than Preston Smith, because I think he's slightly more explosive on the edge. So I think he can be a true, you know, outside linebacker presence, like every down, a little more than Smith can. But he's got hip issues. Like he's, I think he's had both hips repaired surgically. So like that's you know, something that's tough to gauge from, you know, an outsider standpoint. But that's why I would rate Preston Smith higher. But as, you know, if you just put them together on the field, personally, I prefer Owamagbe Odizuwa. Or however
you say
his name.
Oh, Diggy. You told Burns that you tweeted at him and said, just call him Diggy. Just call him Diggy. However it's going to happen. But you mentioned it. In fact, the piece that I wrote today talking about how the Cardinals and their best available player philosophy somehow manages to be a player of need. I mentioned that if putting, you know, connecting the dots, I can see Preston Smith or Diggy. But in fact, those are my top two choices as to what I think the Cardinals will do. You kind of brought up the downside to that. I really like both players. Owa also checks off a few boxes. He was a captain at UCLA. He's got the size, he's got the versatility, and he's got the explosiveness. You wonder though, of course, about that injury issues and the fact that, you know, you look at productivity. Guess what? You got Preston Smith. He's productive, and he you know, you can really project that well. I don't have any problem with Owa. He's my 1B in terms of what I think will happen. You've got a couple now. These other two players now. Diggy's been kind of mentioned in the first round before, but how about these other two players? I don't know if I've seen either of them projected in the first round at all.
The next guy I have is Eric Rowe. He's a cornerback from Utah. He's played corner. He's played safety at Utah. Extremely versatile player, which is one of the reasons I have him on the board. And if it wasn't for Byron Jones literally breaking world records at the NFL Combine, I think Eric Rowe would have gotten a lot more run. Ran a 4.45 40, huge vertical and long jump. And I think he was better than Jones in all of his times, like his short area quickness times. Long guy. He's tall, like I said, lanky. I think a lot of people say that he's can only be a guy that plays in like zone coverage, but I don't think so. I think he's a guy that can do a lot more than that, and he can play safety. And everybody's gonna be like, "Whoa, why do we need a safety? Who cares?" Well, if they needed to, they can have him back there and move Deion Buchanan down into the box in nickel situations and put Tyrann Mathieu in the slot. And all of a sudden now you're talking about, you know, a lot of athletes on the field at once. So you're a guy that can, you know, be your maybe corner three. Cause nobody, I mean, you and I have had this conversation. It's going to take a lot to beat out Jerod Powers for that, you know, cornerback spot opposite Patrick Peterson this year. So why not get a guy that can play safety this year and then slowly integrate into the cornerback position and then be that cornerback next year? The other guy I have is Shaq Thompson, who is basically Deion Buchanan, but I think he can, but he's a linebacker. So that's what my kind of view of him is. I really like him. I think he's a good ball player. I think he's instinctive. I think he's excellent coverage. He can do a lot of different things. And I think the Cardinals will like his versatility and his ability to play in coverage and be kind of what they have wanted when they drafted Kevin Minter and Deion Buchanan and kind of put them into one player that can be on the field a little more as he grows.
Is he big enough to play Mike and to, you know, pulled up at the point attack and to play stout against the run?
He's more of a guy that wins by evading blocks as opposed to taking on blocks. So he'd be more like Darryl Washington in terms of the linebacker position. So Sean Weatherspoon would be, you know, the hammer, and Shaq would be the guy that is cleaning up a lot of stuff. I wouldn't ask him to take on blocks. I think that's not using his ability properly.
That would be my one concern about him. With Weatherspoon, that worked out, because Weatherspoon is definitely versatile enough, because he can play both. He can play fast. He can play physical. But if you're going to pair him up with Darryl Washington, assuming Darryl Washington comes back with the team, those two pairs paired up Washington can go up against, but that's not definitely not his strength. When you had a guy like Carlos Dansby, that works. That's kind of why they got Kevin Minter. It just hasn't worked out yet. I don't want that to turn into kind of what you talk about with someone else like Eric Kendricks in like the second round or even in the first round, is you're using a pick on a coverage linebacker that kind of one thing well without doing the other part. But he does have the playmaking ability to perhaps do that both, or even better if Minter develops, if Washington ends up leaving, cutting ties with them, and Weatherspoon ends up leaving after this season, it does give them the option where they still kind of have that sort of playmaking ability. Now role is an interesting thing. You do bring up a good point about the ability to play safety, because the Cardinals, while they are really good at the safety position right now, a year from now might not be. Rashad Johnson is going to be free agent, and the way he's played, gets himself a pretty good contract. I don't know if the Cardinals will want to pay him that much, especially when they have Matthew, who will, you know, if they can develop and he becomes the player they want, he's going to be due some money pretty soon. You've got Tony Jefferson, who will also be a restricted free agent this next year. So you've got a little bit of uncertainty. We still don't know about Matthew. Will he be able to be a full-time safety? Are they going to buy safety? And then, of course, Buchanan. So having that versatility is a good thing. The one I see is that assuming that there are other corners on the board, you have the potential to get much better corners by the guys that can play both. You've got, unless they're not available, Kevin Johnson, PJ Williams has some personal issues, but in terms of being able to do things, impress man, those guys are so very skilled at it as well that it seems that if they're available, they'd be a better option aside from the versatility that Rowe offers. Yes, he's athletic, which is the Cardinals do, but in terms of scheming, versatility is good, but is he the best option at that position?
I think so. Like, I would have Rowe only behind Marcus Peters and Kevin Johnson for my corner rankings. And then I think it would probably be like Byron Jones after that, and probably a couple other guys that I can't think of off the top of my head, and then Trey Waynes. So, like, Trey Waynes would be way down the board, even though I know a lot of people like him. But I like Eric Rowe.
Most mocks, he's the first guy off the board at the position. Almost everything I've seen, yeah. Waynes is the first one off the board.
Yeah, and that's how that's probably how it'll go too. So, I mean, I'll probably be wrong on this, and I've admitted before, like on the Draft Savages podcast, like when you try to grade safeties and corners, it's extremely difficult because we don't have access to all 22 film. So you're grading them based on what they do when they're on the camera. And that's what the question is. So, you know, what does he do when he's on the camera? Eric Rowe flashes quite a bit for me. So that's just, you know, that's just me.
Now, talk second round. Let's have you give your picks. I'll be honest. One of the players you have on your second round list is a player I am unfamiliar with. Give us you've got three players. Give us what you like in the second round.
So the first guy everybody knows is J.H.I. Kind of falls into that what I just talked about running backs. If his knee's only going to hold up for 3 or 4 years, well, that's fine because that's all I need him for. That's just me. So I'm cool with that. Like, some people are like, oh, you need to get a second. If you're going to draft a second round pick, you need a guy that can play for a decade. Well, that doesn't always happen. So, you know, if you're going
to
take a guy
that really can, never happens, to be honest, yeah. It doesn't happen with anybody in the second round.
Yeah. So, I mean, you, if you're going to take a guy that's physical between the tackles, that does a lot, you know, can do a lot of the dirty work and be a workhorse back for, you know, 3 or 4 years, I'm really okay with that. The next guy is a guy that everybody on the board is familiar, or on Revenge of the Birds, I should say, is familiar with, and that's Benardrick McKinney out of Mississippi State. I think he's a guy that is athletic enough to be a special linebacker. He just has to figure out how to use it. So if he's a guy that's available, I don't know if you were following along to the draft stoppages mock, but my partner, Justin Higdon, mocked McKinney at 10 to the St. Louis Rams based on some stuff he was told. So, I mean, that's like way high, like way higher than I would. Like, I don't know if I'd take McKinney at 24. It'd be kind of similar to Dayone last year, that you'd be okay with it because it fills a need and you see where the talent could be, but he's definitely not a guy that you're like, okay, that's, you know, he's the 24th pick. But that's just me. And then the guy that you're not familiar with, but a guy that I like and I think could be a versatile defensive end only, slash, I shouldn't say that, defensive end only in a 3-4 and becomes a defensive tackle in passing situations, is Henry Anderson out of Stanford. Massive, massive guy, like really, really big. And a guy that is versed in a 3-4 defense already. Physical, you know, he's 6'6 and almost 300 pounds already. So he's a really kind of unflashy workmanlike guy. He kind of reminds me of Brett Kiesel. So he's that type of player to me. And that's why I like him and think he could really fit into what the Cardinals want to do on their 3-4 defense.
And, you know, the McKinney and the Ajayi pick, I don't much of a problem with, other than the fact that I think you McKinney, the one thing that scares me is what I've read from other, again, this is where I tend to lean on what I have to read a lot of scouting reports, what they say is that McKinney, as athletic as he is, plays slow, not super instinctive. So that's, he still have football to learn. There's lots to like about him, and there's definitely room to grow. But the fact that, well, as athletic as he is, and I think you might have brought up the same points in our last show, if as athletic as he is, what does it look like on the field? As opposed to guys who aren't really athletic but look athletic, the tape looks good. He's athletic, but it doesn't show on the field because he's not as extinctive. He doesn't react as quickly. Jai, I don't have a big problem with that pick. I think you might be able to get in round three, probably someone who will get the same sort of production. I know he fits a lot of, and maybe the knee is some concern. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Ajayi also have some fumble issues late in the season, or is that another back I'm thinking of?
Also, look, that's a good question. I know.
I can't remember. I might be mixing up scouting reports. And then Anderson, I can't really say because I'd never heard of him. I never heard of him before today. But he, at that position, the one thing I have a hard time with is picking a defensive end there. A couple of mocks, even in the first round, is the Cardinals depth at the position. Like, you would almost, especially a guy, if he's not going to be able to crack the rotation, he's going to be almost a at year one, when you could have picked an equally impacted, equally talented player in another position that's packed. I know that isn't always, I don't always like using, in fact, I used the offensive tackle option in round one, but the Cardinals don't seem to have a even a long-term super concerned at the position. It's a position that, with the type of scheme that they run, at least on the other side, they're going to keep Campbell for a while. You're able to find guys who can plug and play that position, because the, in their defense, it doesn't tend to be a super productive in terms of numbers. The numbers, the guys that I have I hit some of the same positions. I have quarterback Jalen Collins. He's not one of your favorite guys. At quarterback, I kind of like the idea of going quarterback in the second round because of talent to drop off that you might see later on. Although, if you're looking long term, at least a year from now, because we've kind of talked about, it's going to be hard for any cornerback that they draft in round one, round two, at any point, it's going to be hard for them to find a spot in the defensive rotation, because either it's going to, well, you're going to have Peterson, and it's either going to be Powers starting on the outside and Tyrann Mathieu playing slot, or you keep Mathieu at safety full time. Power starts, kicks inside the slot, and then Justin Bethel plays outside, whom the team has really high expectations. Coach Arians talked about it. Calais Campbell mentioned it the other day, that Bethel has the potential to be great. So is a guy they drafted in the second round going to make that impact? Not necessarily, but the fact that Collins is a raw type talent in very high ceiling. He doesn't have a super bunch of experience, but again, he kind of feels something. He was a captain at LSU. The Cardinals like going with LSU defensive players. They got Mathieu, they've got Peterson, they've got Minter, even that has worked out particularly well. The upside and the ability to have him work with the coaching staff pretty much for the first year before he has to get into the rotation. I like that. Outset. At inside linebacker, I kind of put two guys there. Stephon Anthony out of Clemson. Clemson connection is strong with the Cardinals. And also Eric Kendricks. You've brought up the point about the ability to do more than just playing coverage, but he is the type of inside linebacker that he's a playmaker. Yes, he definitely can play coverage. He can move sideline to sideline, but he makes plays, and that's something that they needed from that position a season ago. Stephon Anthony might be the more complete player. I'm also going to look at another cornerback, and that's PJ Williams. Some call him, at least in terms of press man, he might have the highest ceiling of all of the best ability to play the type of scheme that the Cardinals we think will want to play. Just recently had the DUI, so kind of some off the field issues, although they decided not to. I just ran across the news. I think it was Monday or today or Tuesday, where they're not going to continue on with the charges on the DUI, that they're going to leave that alone, which is good. And lastly, I have a big defensive tackle. And again, that is a need that the Cardinals we think have. I don't know if we can count on Alameda Tayamo, as Bruce Arians said, he ate himself out of a job last year. Yes, they have Corey Peters. That hasn't been the position he really plays, although he can play it, and they expect him to actually play a lot. That's kind of what they're expecting out of him. But a guy like Carl Davis, a big space eater, he's the guy that I like. Yes, Seth, you'll say, why not pick him a guy like that in the third, fourth, fifth round? This guy is – it's not in the first round, but it's a late second round, so I can live with that, and he'll do exactly what you want Alameda Tayamo do, and you can push Tayamo at least and have an eye towards the future, because Tayamo is going to be gone. And if he produces well, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Well, and I will say everybody that you brought up, even Eric Kendricks, who I'm not a huge fan of, I would have ranked, or I should also say Jalen Collins. Like, if you get Jalen Collins on day two, I'm okay with it. I just don't want Jalen Collins at 24, I guess is all I'm trying to say. But when you look at Carl Davis, I love Carl Davis in the second round. I think that would be a great pick, because he's a guy that can play all three positions on the defensive line right away. And I think he's going to be able to be successful as a backup. He's basically like Ed Stinson, except better at everything. So,
and bigger.
Everybody. Yeah. Bigger, faster. Like, that's what I mean. Like, everything that Ed Stinson is, just like a plus. So everybody, I think personally, would be okay with that. Doesn't mean it's going to work out, you know, but
no.
PJ Williams,
none of these players may be available at 54.
Yeah. PJ Williams, I've talked about a bunch. I really like him. I prefer Ronald Darby. I don't know. And people might say, oh, it's a half inch. Who cares? But I don't know, like, you and I had this conversation last year. Like they're trying to get bigger in the secondary because they have Powers and Matthew. So they're trying to get bigger guys. So, that half inch might not matter to you, but it might matter to them. So, cause like,
and the Green Bay, it'll matter when you're trying to, it'll matter when you're trying to tip away that pass at the last minute. If you look at, well, take two NFC championships ago when the very long Richard Sherman gets his hands up, gets his fingertips up and tips away that what would have been a touchdown to send the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And guess what? That half inch would have mattered. If he were a half inch shorter, he doesn't get that. Crabtree scores the touchdown and the San Francisco 49ers play the Broncos.
And I think a team, and Keim seems to be cut from the same cloth. I know he's not from that tree, but a team like the Packers have basically a check sheet like for the corners, as Justice has called it before, one of my co-hosts on Draft Savages and a Packer writer. And it's basically says, like, if you're not this, this, and this, like, if you don't check all these boxes, then you're not going to even be considered. So, and one of them's like, are you over 5'10"? So even if you're 5'9¾", you're not considered. So that's just, I think that sometimes we as fans are like, oh, that doesn't matter. But a lot of times, like, these general
that
managers
might be number one on the list. Yes.
Yeah. And these, you know, player personnel guys, they have checklists and they want those boxes checked. So yeah, Kendricks, Collins, PJ Williams, Carl Davis, I'd be good with. Anthony, I would actually love, I think that would be the best pick of all of your choices right there. Maybe even of mine. I don't know. I like Anthony a lot. I didn't put any of those guys because I didn't want any repetition. So I was trying to think of other guys that you hadn't brought up that I like. So, but Anthony, I think when you look at just the inside linebacker position, is a guy like, if he's kind of in that Dion Buchanan phase where if they took him at 24, I would actually be okay with it. Like, I'd be like, okay, like they're taking a guy that's got a lot of versatility that can be a hammer or be a guy that plays in coverage and does different things. So I think it would be a good pick. I'd be really okay with that.
Looking at the third round, this is where I like the running back position. This is a guy in terms of what Bruce Arians likes. I'm kind of checking off a couple of boxes. I like David Johnson. He's big. He's got speed. And so that in round three, I think, is where I like the value of the running back rather than rounds one or two. A guy you'll probably agree with, the receiver, Tyler Lockett. He is, if you think Bruce Arians receivers, you've talked about this. You're the one that put the profile together last year. Tyler Lockett is a Bruce Arians receiver and would just give them. And if I would, I understand necessarily, he's not so much as a street speed down the field, streak, get the ball down on those nine routes. He's a really good route runner. And can run away from people underneath, get separation where John Brown isn't super good at that yet on those underneaths, but then can make plays after that. Kikaha out of Washington, if he were to make it to the third round, that's where I, even if I get Preston Smith in the first round, I jump on Kikaha in the third round. I know there are injury concerns with those knees, but with the third rounder, if he washes out after 2-3 years because of his knees, then I'm not so worried if I get any sort of production. And lastly, on my wish list, this is kind of a homework pick, and this Marcus Hardison out of Arizona State. Physically, he's really athletic. He was real productive. He can do a lot of things that you like to do, what the Cardinals like to do on the defensive line, and do a lot of it well.
I think Hardison would be a great pick personally. Like I love that idea. I don't know if it happens, but I'd be like completely okay with it. We've talked about Lockett. I mean, there's not much I can add to that. Kikaha, I read a report today. I don't know if you saw it, that some teams don't have any concerns with his medicals. So that makes me wonder if he could be in play again in the first round. Cause after all the medicals came out, he basically was put down in like late round two or round three at the earliest. So I don't know. Did you read that at all today?
I haven't run across that today, no.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I think Josh Norris tweeted that out. So maybe check out Josh Norris, his Twitter account, and you might be able to find that. Tyler Lockett, yeah, like I said, we've hit that one a lot. And David Johnson is an interesting one to me. I've texted you about this before. So the knock on Johnson is that he could be a guy that doesn't really like contact, right? So you got a guy that's 6'1", 224, runs a 4.5 40, you know, really good short shuttle short shuttle, three cone time, explosive to the max, but he kind of is soft, and that's a problem if you're a big back, right? So I told you, when I do a player comp, I like to do like high end, low end, and my player comp for him was Matt Forte, which I think all Cardinals fans would be like, okay, I'd take Matt Forte, you know, that'd be
especially in the third round.
Yeah. Which is where Forte went, I believe, out of college. I think Toledo was where he went. I could be wrong, though. Might have been Tulane, one of those T's. And but his low end is, to me, is Beanie. And not like good, like 1,000-yard Beanie, but like, oh my gosh, this guy's driving me insane, Beanie. Like, why are you going down on first contact? You're 6'2", 230, and you run a 4.5 40, and safety comes up and hits you in the leg, and you fall down. Like, that type of Beanie. So I wonder if maybe that would scare away Keim. I don't know. But I like David Johnson. Like, I'd be okay with it. It's not my favorite running back pick per se, but he's definitely a guy that would make sense there because he, like you said, he checks those boxes off for what the Cardinals are looking for.
And who are your picks? There's a guy I've actually, in a couple of mock drafts, I ran through the FanSpeak simulator, but I picked him up in the fourth round. But this is running back that you have here is one that you and a couple other guys have been, you know, banging the table on. Who is that?
Mike Davis out of South Carolina. He really reminds me of Michael Turner, the old Falcons running back, who, you know, when he was in his prime was, what, a top five back in the NFL. But he's a guy that is going to need all the carries. Like, you can't have him share carries with Andre Ellington. So, like, he's going to need 20, and Andre's going to get hopefully 12. And that'll, like, I'd be okay with that. I don't know how you would feel. He's, you know, he's a bolt carry back that grinds out guys, but he doesn't look like it because he's just a ball of a player, but he's definitely a guy that could be a workhorse back for like 3 to 4 years, again, in that mold, that comes in and wears down defenses and then, you know, hits a home run late. So he's a guy I like and I'd be really okay with. the other guys I mentioned were Trey McBride. I was just trying to bring up other wide receiver prospects that fit into the Arians box, you know, those checks all the Arians boxes. And I think he does. He's right at 6 feet tall. He timed well, but I don't think he's plays as fast as he runs. So that's just me. But I think he'd be a good fit. And then Rob Havenstein out of Wisconsin. First time that we've mentioned a offensive tackle outside of round one. A guy that he's a right tackle in the NFL, but he's nasty. Like, he's physical. He's willing to do all the dirty work, which is, you know, something you like. So I think drafting him in round three, and people are going to be like, well, that's just a waste of a round three pick. So tell me how much you like Kareem Martin. So, you know, that's kind of my response to that always.
Wow. Wow. Drop it. That's, and the thing is, Seth, you're completely on point, but people don't say that how do you like Kareem Martin? People love, I loved Kareem Martin. I was so excited. Yeah. He did nothing at all.
And And so you have to be okay with that. Like you have to have the mentality of Steve Keim that, okay, we're not just drafting for 2015, we're looking ahead to 2016. And if Rob Havenstein is a guy that we think can be a 5-year starter or 3-year starter, at guard, and we can get 2016, 2017, and 2018 out of him with, a guy like maybe David Cobb in round 4 or the end of round 3 that we pick up, as a running back, and those can be guys that we lean on for four or five years. And they're cheap. Exactly. If you get production for cheap for, 3 to 4 years, you're winning games. Look at what the Seahawks have done. So those are my guys.
So let's kind of move on. I like Mike Davis. The one thing that I don't like is the fact that he needs the volume carries. The Cardinals kind of made it kind of clear. They believe Andre Ellington needs to touch the ball. So if you're going to have a guy that requires volume carries, kind of like a Rashard Mendenhall, and they were doing that with Rashard Mendenhall when they weren't willing to give Andre Ellington touches, then you're kind of taken away from the whole thing. You've kind of given up, ready to give up on Andre Ellington. So you want a guy that's more complimentary. Though Mike Davis is the type of guy you could, he's more your traditional bang it through the tackles type player. If he doesn't gel well offensively with what they want to do with Andre Ellington, although they still could use him more as a receiver, it might not be the best pick as opposed to some other ones. Having something I like, because yes, if you can pick up a future starter, if it's not year one, and it's okay if you don't get an impact player from the third round pick, Massey's going to sign that. Look at Paul Fonica, not a very good lineman. you could argue that he's well below average. He got himself $9 million over 3 years. Roughly. That's pretty good. Bobby Massey's going to get paid more than that. He's going to get paid a significant amount of money after this season, and I don't know if the Cardinals are going to want to pay him that amount. And so you want to keep rolling through right tackles. If you've got the left tackle position set in Valdir and the left side of the, you can afford to kind of burn through right tackles every 3-4 years, and Havenstein would be a good one to do that. We talked a lot longer about these picks than I thought we were going to. So we're going to go to the mock draft part of it. So we're going to go through all 32 picks of the first round. We're going through each team's. I'm going to give who I think the team what the team should do, and then what I think they will do, and Seth's got his picks as well. So we now hit the mock draft section of Revenge of the Birds Radio. If you're still listening, thank you. If you have any comments that you'd like to make live on the show, again, you can give us a call at 646-478-3787 or tweet us at Senor Jess Root, at Revenge of Birds, or at S. Cox FB, as in football, to give us comments that way. So let's look at the first round. We're going to start at the top, and I think that there's not going to be much that we need to argue about right there, simply because everyone in the world knows what's going to happen. The Tampa Bay Bucs should draft Jameis Winston. I think they will draft Jameis Winston. Do you agree?
Yes.
Tennessee Titans. Personally, I think that they should trade the pick. If we remember, Zach Mettenberger was considered a first-round talent before his off-the-field concerns, before his injury. So he was considered a first-round talent. If they believe in Zach Mettenberger, and if they have at all any concerns with and if they want to win now, they either need to get more talent around him. Because even if they draft Marcus Mariota, that's not going to significantly improve their team if they don't have more talent. I think they should trade the pick, but I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll take Mariota.
Yeah, and I hope they don't, because I think that's a terrible fit for Mariota, having to be tutored under a very demanding Ken Wisenhunt and a somewhat inflexible Ken Wisenhunt. So I hope they don't, but who knows? I think from there you go to the guy that I'm going to pick, and Cardinals fans will understand why. Other people may not, but I'm going to go with Kevin White out of
Virginia. West Virginia, yes.
Yeah. I think. Oh wait, no, I went with Mariota, didn't I? Sorry, you I didn't get back to my. Sorry. Okay, never mind. So yeah, maybe they will go with Mario. Ignore what I said after that.
No, to be honest, we could see Kevin White in that pick, especially if they believe in Zach Mettenberger. Let's get him another playmaker. Let's give him a playmaker there. Although to counter that, because of the mental makeup that Marcus Mariota has, I think he is probably the perfect quarterback prospect to work with a demanding Ken Whisenhunt, because he does write his quarterback's art and he can get success. He just hasn't had one. He hasn't had a young one with the right mindset or talent mixed together. They had John Skelton. I mean, the ones that the Cardinals had, that Matt Leinart, he wasn't really a fit with what they needed to do. Then the quarterbacks after that just didn't have the talent or just weren't healthy. Pick number three, got Jacksonville. I think they should go, because of what they need, I think they need to go pass rusher. I think they should go with Dante Fowler. I think what's going to end up happening, they're going to go more with the value, what people are saying, as Leonard Williams seems to be almost the consensus best pick in the draft. I think they will go Leonard Williams out of USC with the third pick.
I think they're going to go Vic Beasley. We talked about it on our podcast earlier today. They're really good at keeping what they're going to do under wraps, right? Like, nobody had any idea they were taking Blake Bortles. So,
exactly. I
think same thing this year. I think they're going to go Vic Beasley, and because nobody has any idea that's happening.
Now, fourth with Oakland, I think the Raiders should go with Beasley here, assuming that he's still around. I think they should go Beasley. I think instead they go with Fowler. Wouldn't that be quite the pairing when you've got Khalil Mack on one side and Dante Fowler on another? I think that would be fantastic. I know that you have a different pass rusher matched up at number four.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Bud Dupree of Kentucky, my second favorite guy after Beasley. I've just read too much that they like Bud Dupree a lot, and I think that'll be what they do.
And we'll go to Washington. I think they should go Beasley. I think they end up with Beasley. You think they end up with?
Dante Fowler. We're just flip-flopping at this point.
with those top-end pass rushers. But so look at least at our mock that we've got in the first six picks. In fact, we have one. You have it going Beasley, Fowler. You have it going Beasley, Dupree, Fowler. I have it going. So you have three of the first six. Three of the first five, that is, and I have two of the first five going pass rusher. Let's go to the Jets. What I actually think they should do in this situation, I can't imagine. Maybe they believe in Geno Smith, but when you've got a new coach in Todd Bowles, you've got an offensive coordinator who really can kind of work with a lot of different players. I think they should trade up, because especially they've already got a really talented defense. I think they should trade up and get Marcus Mariota, get some of that talent to Tennessee, and get their quarterback. I don't know if what Todd Bowles thinks of Geno Smith, but at least you get some competition there. But I don't think that'll happen, because I think in the end, Tennessee will keep that pick and get Mariota. I think they're going to go with Amari Cooper, and which is the next best thing. He's the safest, I guess you could call him the safest receiver on the board, who allows them to add offensive weapons. Again, don't they wish that wouldn't Mark Sanchez wish they had the type of talent that they're perhaps could have this year? He probably wouldn't be the laughingstock of the league in the butt fumble thing, but had they had the receiver talent that they could have coming in this year.
Yeah. And I agree. I think they go with Cooper here. I think that Cooper is a guy that will allow them to do a lot of different things offensively.
Number seven, I think they should go Kevin White. Now, you've already got – I think they will go Kevin White. You have them go in a different direction as you have a player that isn't expected to drop this far. Does.
Yeah, I have Leonard Williams here. Something funny always happens on draft day, so I just went with Leonard Williams, and maybe that he takes a slight fall down the draft boards.
With the Falcons, I think they should make Todd Gurley a top 10 pick, or I couldn't decide between these. So I think they should go Todd Gurley, or they should get Bud Dupree, who's already off your board. I think they will stay away from Gurley top 10. I think they go with Dupree at the eighth pick, and there's the third pass rusher off the board for me.
And I think they're going to go with Randy Gregory. So Ooh. I think what's the Scott Pioli has a history of being aggressive with troubled players, and I think he continues it. And you see Gregory go here. But you know what? Gurley is a good pick and somebody that we mocked in our draft earlier.
Going number 9 with the Giants, I think they should go with Brandon Scherff, top considered by most to be the top tackle in the draft. I think they will go with Scherff. You have a different tackle off the board right here. Surprise.
Yeah, Andres Pete. I think Pete's going to be the player that they take. Everything I've heard the last 2 weeks is that they love Andres Pete. So I think Andres Pete's the pick, and we'll see what happens.
With the Rams, I think they need to go with the playmaker. I think they need to go Devontae Parker, big receiver. I don't know if I was trying to be funny with this. I think they're going to go Danny Shelton because I think they want all the defensive linemen in the world on their team.
I do like that. That's funny to me. Anything that keeps Shelton out of the Cardinals uniform, I'm okay with. And it's not that I don't like Danny Shelton. I just don't want a nose tackle at 24. I'm going to go Brandon Scherff. I think they continue to strengthen that offensive line. And Scherff is just like such a Jeff Fisher pick. So,
with the Vikings, I see the need at cornerback. In fact, the rumor was they wanted a first round pick and a starting cornerback. So I think they should, even though the top corner on most boards is Trey Waynes, I think they should go Marcus Peters, but I do think they end up going Trey Waynes with that pick.
Yes, I agree.
The Cleveland Browns, I think they should go, even though it doesn't have, I think they should go Devontae Parker like I thought the Rams should, but he didn't come off the board. So I think they should go that route, especially they're going to try to build that offense. I think they will. You thought that the Falcons would go with it. I think they will pull the trigger on Randy Gregory. Cleveland Browns and dysfunction seem to go together. Why not add another one? Randy Gregory with the 12th pick. You go with?
I went with Kevin White. Just he fell a little bit on this board, and so I took him here.
With the Saints, I keep saying that the third pick in the last 4 or 5, I think the team should go with Devontae Parker. Saints should want to add a talent down the field to help Drew Brees in the twilight of his career, if that's what we're at. But I think they're going to end up going with the pass rush and go with Shane Ray, which will please you because it'll keep him out of the Cardinals uniform.
Yes. And I agree. I think they can go Shane Ray here.
With the Dolphins at number 14, I think they should go with Todd Gurley, assuming he's still around. But I don't think they do. I think they're going to stick with Lamar Miller. Instead, I think they're going to go with the tackle here. And this is where it's a little bit of a surprise. He doesn't jump Scherff, but I'm going to go with Andres Pete at 14 for Miami.
And I think they take Devontae Parker here. I think they're going to take the best receiver that quote unquote falls to 14, even though a wide receiver at 14 is probably a reach for me. Shouts to Michael Floyd.
With the 49ers, number 15, again, Devontae Parker should come off the board, but he doesn't. Instead, they go to bolster that defensive line, go with Eric Armstead, especially since the player that they have manning that position right now is Darnell Dawkins. Who knows how much longer he can play?
I'm in 100% agreement with this pick.
It seems to me as how my mock is falling. Devontae Parker seems to be should be drafted high, but isn't. I say number 16, the Texans should go with Devontae Parker. This is where he lands, Devontae Parker. But you have a different player, different position.
I did. With the news today that they're shopping DJ Swearinger and the fact that I like Demarius Randall a lot. I've watched all his games at ASU. I think he's a very good player. I just don't think he's a first-round talent. So I went with Landon Collins.
Number 17, this is the Chargers' dream. They should go Todd Gurley. They run to the podium and draft Todd Gurley because they didn't think that Melvin Gordon's perhaps going to be the pick they might go with, but Todd Gurley, I think they will be overjoyed to grab.
Yep, I'm in agreement here.
Pick number 18 with the Chiefs. This is a pick I've seen a lot, and that's going with Jalen Strong. I think they will go Jalen Strong out of Arizona State, who, honestly, that's probably just the Arizona homer in me, but he potentially could be the best receiver out of this draft.
You know, I hate this pick for Mew, not because of Strong, but because fitting with the Chiefs. I think it's going to waste.
Is Alex Smith going to throw to him?
Yeah, it's going to waste the first 2 to 3 years of his career. So I hate that pick for Strong. So I hope it doesn't happen. I have him going Cam Irving. Unfortunately for Cardinals fans that like Cam Irving with an E.
You've been reading that comment thread. Those are listening. There's been a reader who has been banging the table, pounding on the table. Cam Irving wasn't spelling his last name right. Nothing against him as a person, because he definitely has a point to picking Irving for the Cardinals. But it kind of caused a bit of a stir among the community because he wasn't spelling the name right. Number 19 with the Browns. I had them picking Randy Gregory, so they had already addressed the pass rush, even though I thought they should go with Devontae Parker. At this point, hey, why not? We're going to add some potential trouble to that Cleveland locker room. I think they should go Doriel Green Beckham, and I think they do grab Doriel Green Beckham. Playmaker problems. Hey, it's Cleveland. What would it be without drama?
And I have them taking Danny Shelton because he's not off my board yet, and everything that I've talked to my buddy Justin about, who's a Browns fan, said that they're taking Danny Shelton at either 12 or 19. So it's going to happen.
Okay, number 20 with the Eagles. I'm going to go with what Peter King mocked earlier. I agree. I don't know if Demaryius Randall I don't know if Landon Collins is the top safety, but since I watched a lot of Demaryius Randall, Arizona State, athletic, super smart and instinctive, the Eagles would love to have him. Chip Kelly, Pac-12 guy. I think they should go Randall, and I think they're going to go with Demaryius Randall and give ASU a surprise 2 first-round picks in this year's draft. But you have them going.
Man, that would be such a huge thing for ASU. Something that doesn't get talked about enough is the importance of getting first-round picks on your resume as a college coach. I think that would really help. But back to what you were asking, Byron Jones, I think he just checks too many Chip Kelly boxes, and that's who he picks.
The Bengals, looking for offensive line help, should go with Lael Collins, who might be a surprise he's fallen this far. I think they will go with Collins, despite the most recent report where he's being questioned into the death of a pregnant woman. Who knows if he's in involvement, but you know, it's just continues. Thanks to the social media and everything, we get to hear more and more about off the field stuff with players.
Yeah. And everything I've read is that they just want to know if he knows anything, that he hasn't even been in contact with this person for a long time. So I don't think it's anything. Obviously it's a sad thing that a woman lost her life, and that's what matters the most here. And I have them taking Collins as well.
At 22, Steelers. Now with the retirement of Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor, they have secondary needs. I think, especially with Marcus Peters on the board, who I thought he should be the first corner off the board, I think they will go Marcus Peters.
Absolutely.
With 23 at the Lions, this will crush a few Arizona Cardinals fans. Well, that's actually not true. What I think they should do is take Melvin Gordon off the board. I think they will, though, with the loss of Ndamukong Suh, go with a guy to pair up with Nick Fairley and go Eddie Goldman.
I have them taking Melvin Gordon because
the
Cardinals
on the board at 24. Yeah. The Cardinals, we kind of agree. I think they should trade down if they can and get Preston Smith. I think they don't end up trading down because they can't, and they're going to go Preston Smith.
Yeah, and I think they'd go Preston Smith, much to the chagrin of a lot of people. Actually, after Preston Smith, the pick is made, everybody's going to love it and talk about how much of a genius Steve Keim is. And
us too. Us too. We're going to be the genius because you're the one who turned me on Preston Smith. And then you will be the author of The Greatness of Preston Smith. So we will give you the credit, Seth.
No, I don't want any credit. I just want everybody to I just want everybody to remember what they said before the pick and how much he didn't fit what the Cardinals wanted to do and everything.
All right, at 25, I don't quite have Melvin Gordon off the board, so I think the Panthers, because of the age at running back that they've got, I think they should go Melvin Gordon, but instead I see them going with the offensive line to help protect Cam Newton. Not a bad idea. They go with TJ Clemmings.
Yeah, and I have him taking Eric Flowers. I'd prefer Clemmings. I think Eric Flowers is Levi Brown 2.0, but, you know, whatever. The NFL's weird.
26, Ravens. I think they should add some speed to receiver, Breshad Perriman, but I don't think they will, and I think they will grab the corner you thought that you had going to the Eagles, Byron Jones.
And I have them taking a different corner because Byron Jones is off the board, Kevin Johnson.
For the Cowboys, they're like the Chargers, overjoyed. Melvin Gordon's still on the board, so yes, they should draft him. Yes, they do draft him in my mock.
And I have him taking a defensive tackle out of Texas, Malcolm Brown. I think he answers some of their questions along the defensive line that they have.
The Broncos will want to add, I think they should go with a high upside offensive lineman at DJ Humphreys, and I think that's the direction they go to give Peyton Manning a little bit more protection on that side of the ball.
And I agree that they should go offensive line. I just have them taking the better player in Jake Fisher.
Nice dig. Thanks, Seth. With the Colts at number 29. I have them. They should, because they already are doing well offensively. So I think they should go on the defensive side of the ball. I think they should go Kevin Johnson, as he's available. Very talented corner. I see them giving Andrew Luck more protection. This is where I see them adding Eric Flowers. Although, like you said, perhaps not going to be the best help for Andrew Luck. However, he can help in the running game.
And I think this is where our friend Demarius Randall comes off the board, because I feel like the Colts always make a mistake in the first round. So outside of Andrew Luck.
Okay, pick number 30. I've got the Packers. They should go Kevin Johnson. They will go Kevin Johnson. They are thrilled.
Yeah, if he's there, I think they would love that pick. He's not, though, so I'm gonna take Denzel Perryman, who's been linked to them the last week after being linked to them in February. So, as everybody likes to say, the draft has come full circle.
Now going with the Saints, and I just want to make sure that I didn't mess this up. Oh, I did mess this up. Dang it! You didn't tell me. I had Byron Jones being drafted twice.
Oh, it's all right. We'll just have the Saints take Jalen Collins there.
Oh, yes. Not a bad choice there. I probably would go that route. Jalen Collins instead of, I said they should go Byron Jones. The problem is he's already been drafted. And you have?
I have Jalen Strong. I think they draft Jalen Strong to learn under Marquise Colston for a year and then take over the big slot receiver role that he does. And he's going to flourish in New Orleans.
Now, at number 32, a guy that you already have off the board, I think they should go in the middle with Malcolm Brown, but I think instead who they go with is the bigger, what's his name, Phillips out of Oklahoma.
Jordan Phillips,
yes.
And I think they take the guy that you've got off the board, and they go with Eddie Goldman.
And there you have it. We have talked Arizona Cardinals football. We've talked three rounds of players, the prospects, matches for the Arizona Cardinals. We just mocked the entire first round. Seth, two nights from now, well, actually 48 hours from now, we will know who the first pick of the Cardinals is. Thanks for coming on. This has been Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm Jess Root. That's Seth Cox. Have a great evening.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.
Everyone has a story to tell. Take Jen. She can see all the films she wants, whenever she wants, at Cineworld. From Finding Dory and the BFG to Suicide Squad. She gets 10% off all her cinema snacks, Baskin-Robbins, sweets and treats, you name it. Plus 25% off at some of her favourite restaurants, like Frankie and Benny's. That's Jen's unlimited story. Start yours today when you join Cineworld Unlimited. From just $17.40 a month. Love cinema? Join the club. Sign up today at your local Cineworld or visit cineworld.com.